This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trans people are seen as this like porn category, like fetish. Yeah. Like they just want us for like a night and they want to like get their fantasy and like their whatever the fuck.
Everyone, I'm your host, Alan Eist, and this is Noche de Pendejadas, your favorite talk show turned podcast, en donde yo traigo a tus influencers favoritos para platicar y posiblemente sacarles sus trapitos al sol. Please help me welcome tonight's guest, Athena Lena. Hello, hello.
Please add in the boo sound effect. Everybody's like, boo.
You're like, sáquenla. Wait, do you understand Spanish?
No, but I've been to Taco Bell a couple times. So like, I mean,
ah, like, te entiendo.
Yeah,
so, si no,
yeah.
Entiendo,
no, literally, guys, I do. Yeah, no. Okay.
La van a ver a su cara de pendeja where she's like, what the fuck is he saying? Pero aquí te tenemos. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Antes de que empecemos con el episodio, I'm going to go ahead and send over the mic to you so you can let us know a little bit more about
it's
who
like
you are. Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, so starts rapping. A little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Okay, I am Athena. I am a recovering meth addict. And I'm just kidding. No, I'm a content creator. I started off doing like comedy for like three-ish years. And now I like rebranded and now I do like full like beauty.
I feel like you have like a mix of like beauty and still comedy, which I feel like that's why I feel like you're so refreshing to watch, because it's like, not only are you going to let us know if a product's bomb, but you're also going to fucking make us laugh. So, ya para empezar con el chisme, you guys, before we actually get started with the chisme, I'm actually going to take a shot with Athena. Nos vamos a tomar una pinche shot, you guys, para que quedemos pedas. I am ready.
Oh, I'm not ready.
I'm a little nervous, you guys. Okay.
I said I was going to stop drinking, but here we are.
Pa' arriba, pa' abajo, pa' centro y pa' dentro.
Oh, shit. That was sickening. What kind of tequila was that?
Patron.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was good.
Ya calentamos un poquito los motores, and we're going to go ahead and go straight into the chisme. The first question I kind of always ask everyone who's on the show is, how were you growing up? How was Athena as a child?
Okay, well, in and out of juvie multiple times. Like, actually.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, I mean,
no, I mean, like, I feel like my childhood was, like, pretty similar to everybody in the LGBTQ community. Very much, like, you didn't know anything other than just being yourself authentically, and it was everybody being like, why do you talk like a girl? Like, why do you act like a girl? Yeah. Well, here we are. I mean, I had a pretty fun, like, childhood for the most part, but then, like, once I started growing up in, like middle school, high school, that's when, like, people started being like, so, like,
yeah,
like, eres joto o que pendeja, like, que quieres?
It was always like awkward or almost kind of like, oh my god, why the fuck are you guys asking me? Did it ever make you feel uncomfortable when people would ask you that?
Yeah, specifically like with like family members and stuff like that, just because it's like, we're literally like, especially we're like, or at school or whatever, like, I don't even want to be here. And like, yeah, now like they're asking you like, so why are you like this way? And it's like, but it's, I guess it's just like normal, because like kids are always gonna be outspoken and ask, yeah, like the dumbest fucking question. So I mean, it is what it is.
One thing I always hated growing up was going to like the family functions and them asking you, y la novia, where's the girlfriend? And like,
you're like, yo soy la novia.
Like, but you know what would piss me off? It was like when it was already like obvious that you were, yeah, gay. It
almost, like, they're trying to get it out of you, like,
yes,
to embarrass,
like, that
you.
That almost made me feel like growing. I was actually having this convo with my boyfriend the other day, and I was like, that always made me feel so uncomfortable, because it was like, bitch, it's obvious that I'm gay. and you're over here asking for la novia cuando claramente yo soy la novia. Did that ever almost make you feel like, fuck, I don't even want to go to the family function?
Yeah, I guess. I think I would just kind of avoid those like uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. Like I would be like, oh my God, look, like your husband's cheating on you again. Like I, you know, I'd deflect from like, yeah, what was going on with me. But it wasn't that fierce. I just think, I don't know. Like it was almost like an unspoken thing.
Yeah, like it was almost like, don't even ask her. You know what I mean? What was your relationship like with your parents? Were you like a daddy's girl?
I feel like me and my dad are cool, but like me and my mom have just always been like super, super close. Like my parents are like, luckily they're like very obsessed with me. So like, it's like, even if like they were like, oh, like what the fuck are you doing? They were still like obsessed with me. So like, you know, like there's still so much like love there. But like, obviously like once I came out, it was like a little bit different, but like they still like had like a lot of love for me.
So around 15, 16, you know, you come out as gay. How was that for you? You know, cuéntanos un poquito más de cómo pasó eso. How did you come out to your parents and how did everyone take it at the time?
I mean, like my, like people who are like very close to me, like friends and family that saw me often were like not surprised. They're just like, oh, okay. Like, why are you telling us this? But my parents were shocked. They were gagged. I think it's just because like they didn't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. So they were like,
have y'all been knowing?
Literally, yeah, exactly. Like they weren't buying me Lady Gaga CDs and Beyonce CDs all my fucking life.
So, how was it like when you came out to them? Like, give us like a little story so we can picture it.
It was hard, obviously, because like I would like go to school and like stuff, and I would like straighten my hair at school and like put on lipstick and like lip gloss at school. And like when I would come home, I would like kind of get rid of all that. So it was obviously kind of hard because like, I feel like parents and like family can be like the most judgmental. And so it was definitely very like hard to do. But once it happened, I felt a lot better. And they were like not mad, but they were more so just like worried, you know? Because like, are your parents from Mexico?
Yeah.
My parents are from Mexico as well. So it's like growing up, like they all like bully the gay kid. And like, you know how they are with gay people. So like they were like almost like, not that we don't want you to be gay, but like we know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like I wouldn't want my kid like growing up listening to Charlie XCX. So like, it's just like, I get it. But yeah, they took it fine, I guess. It wasn't like bad. Like they didn't kick me out or anything.
How was that for you? Like when you came out as gay the first time, did you almost feel like a sign of relief? Did you be like, okay, you know what? I can fucking be myself now. 100%. How was that for you?
It was good. Like it almost made me more, because I've never been the kind of person who was like very scared. Like if anything, like I wanted to come out and like piss off my parents and like piss everybody else off. Cause like,
you're like, I'm not even doing this just so y'all can understand me. Yeah. I'm just trying to do this to get y'all mad.
Exactly, It's almost like it makes me feel more like empowered. Like, if that makes sense.
So obviamente you come out as gay around the age of 15, 16, which I feel like that's around the same age I came out too. You said that you were already wearing makeup to school. Mm-hmm. How was that for you? At school, did people already kind of, you know, obviously think or knew that you were gay at the time because like they would see you wearing makeup? How was that like school life for you?
School life, I mean, it was kind of weird at first because I started wearing makeup maybe like junior year, senior year-ish, like towards like the end of high school. So like it was like MAC Velvet Teddy lipstick and like Girl, right when like the whole Kylie Jenner era happened. So I would wear like a lot of like lipstick and like lip gloss, but like that was really it. Like it was just like I started off with like lip stuff. And nobody really cared too much. If anything, they were like, oh, like give me some of your lipstick. Like it wasn't too fierce. Like it was like fine. Like there was every, like they're like little, what is it called? Like people who would like kind of bully you here and there, but it's like, in high school, I was, like, very, very much, like, a bitch. Like, I was so mean. Yeah. But it was to protect myself, you know what I mean? Because, like, I can't, like, pick a struggle, like, gay and weak or gay and, like, strong.
Yeah. You know? How were you in school in the sense of, like, were you popular? Were you, like, peleonera? Did you get in any fights in school?
No, but I wish I did. Oh, my God. This is TMI. But there was this one time, this girl at my school, there was, like, a scandal because she got caught sleeping with one of the teachers. And it was this huge thing. And I was mad as hell because I was like, it should have been me. Like, I should have been sleeping with that teacher. Yeah. Literally, but no, that was, I wasn't like peleonera at all. It was very much like minding my business. But like, I think freshman, sophomore year, I was like just like a regular nerdy kid. And then towards more junior and like senior year, that's when I like started becoming more popular because I was so outspoken and I was in everybody's business, like calling people out, like calling the football players out on like Twitter, being like, your dick looks moldy. Like, I just like did not care. Thank God that Twitter is deleted, because if those tweets came back up, it'd be over for me.
I'm like, she wouldn't be here.
Imagine you like pull up the tweets going, so
actually babe, I have them right here.
That actually happened to me in high school one time. I was like not bullying this. Well, actually, I probably was bullying her now that I think about it. But I went into like the guidance counselor's office. Like they called me in randomly and I sit down and she turns her computer with one of my tweets and it's like me bullying this girl. And she goes, what is this? And without even skipping a beat, I'm like, freedom of speech. Like, exactly.
Like, what? Like I said, what I said.
Yeah, her pussy's thinking, what about
it? What happened to you then? Did you get suspended?
No, I wish. That would have been sickening. But no, they were just like, apologize to her. So I did. Did I mean it?
No.
No.
Sorry. When you were 19, you came out once again, but this time, you
as
know,
a Republican.
As transgender, how was that for you? You know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, how was coming out to your parents, to your family, going from gay to coming out as transgender?
Okay, coming out as gay was super easy because, like, the world, as you know, like, loves gay men. Yeah. Like gay men are everywhere. Like, yes, queen, work. But, like, it's different because, like, the world hates women. Yeah. Like, actually, like, there's, like, a war going on with, like, women's bodies and the government trying to take away people, like, women's rights. So it's, like, once I came out as trans, like, my parents', like, view was, like, very different. Like, they were even more scared for me. And, you know, it's harder because, like, again, like, the world really does, like, hate women. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. So that was hard because, like, I feel like society just, like, thinks, like, trans people aren't, like, real. Like, they want to, like, erase trans people. Sorry, I got, like, really serious out of nowhere. So it was definitely harder because my parents, once I came out as gay, like, I think, like, that was maybe when I was, like, 16, 15.
Yeah.
And then when I was 19, I came out as trans. And, like, they had already kind of gotten over the fact that I was gay. Like, okay, we don't care. You're a faggot. Like, period. And then I came out as trans, and that was even harder. Because it's, like, not, gay is fine, but, like, trans is, like, oh, my God, now he's going to be wearing wigs. And, like, he's going to be death dropping and voguing in the living room. You know what I mean? So, like, it was definitely a lot harder. And, like, the, especially, like, the whole, like, name thing and everything, it was so hard for them. I already kind of knew that I was different. Like, I remember, like, I was maybe in, like, first grade when my sister pulled me aside because, like, I would only listen to, like, girl music and, like, girly things and only hang out with girls. Not that that, like, means anything, but I remember her pulling me aside and being like, do you want to be a girl? And I was like, like, obviously, like, in my head, I was like, yes, but, like, I couldn't say that because, like, I, like, you know, when you grow up and, like, you hear your parents and family, like, say all these, like, bad things about, like, gay people and trans people, like, yeah. I felt like I couldn't, you know, trust anybody. So I feel like I had, like, the realization when I was a lot younger, but then, like, growing up and, like, I feel like we didn't really have a lot of trans representation back in the day until more so, like, Nikita Dragon and, like, Gigi Gorgeous. So, like, once I started watching, like, people on, like, YouTube, like, living their lives authentically, I was like, something's missing. And it was, like, almost like that was, like, the missing puzzle piece. And, like, kind of, like, something clicked. And then I was like, I want to express myself and be like this because that's how I am or how I felt inside.
How did your friends or, like, your family around you react?
It was a little easy for, like, family, like, not, like, super close, but, like, the family outside and, like, my friends that saw me every day. Because when I started wearing lipstick in high school, it was, like, it went from lipstick to, like, foundation to, like, mascara to, like, lashes. Like, it all happened very gradually. So, like, they transitioned with me a little bit. So all my friends were super cool about it. Like, they got, like, the name thing right away and the pronouns. And, like, other family was super supportive. But, like, my parents were more, like, you know?
Yeah.
They were more, a little bit more gagged. And they were, like, it took them a while to get, like, the name thing right. Like, my name's Athena, so they would call me, like, Antena for such a long time, like, as a joke. Because, like, they try to make fun of, like, everything. So I was like, bitch, you think I won't blow this house up right now? I told my mom first, and I told my dad, like, a couple months later. Mm-hmm. And the conversation that I have, I was just like, because they were gagged, and they're like, ¿por qué? Like, ¿cómo? Like, how?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, no, like, this isn't up for discussion. Like, I'm not asking for your input. I'm just letting you guys know. Because I'm going to be, like, I'm going to start being myself authentically. I'm going to, you know, straighten and curl my hair, like, wear more makeup and look just, like, more cunt. And I'm not asking you guys for permission. I'm just letting you guys know so you guys are aware because I want you guys in my life. And if you guys have a problem with this, like, that's literally your problem. Like, this isn't my problem. It's yours. Like, if you guys want to make it a problem, it's going to be yours because, like, I'm just choosing to be myself, like, authentically, you know?
What made you stop telling your dad at the same time you told your mom and almost made you wait a couple months?
I think it's just because me and my mom, like, we were a lot closer, like, we just talked more, and, like, my dad would, like, was the one that was working and, like, supporting the family, so, like, I wouldn't really see him as much.
Yeah.
And this is, like, when I started drinking fiercely, so, like, I wasn't home a lot. So, like, I waited a little bit because I just feel like he was going to take it harder. Yeah. And I was waiting for my mom maybe to, like, maybe tell him a little,
like,
bit.
Like, ease him in.
But when I told him, he was like, what? Like, he was gagged too. And I was like, period.
Did you ever feel, like, at a moment not accepted by, like, your families and friends?
With family, definitely. Like, it felt like that for a very long time because it was, like, it was kind of weird for a bit. And then, like, over time, they obviously got it. But at first, they were just, like, still very, like, taken back. Just, like, very surprised because, like, they didn't want to accept it.
Hoy te vemos como Athena. How did you come up with the name? What was, like, the process you went through, or how did that name come to be?
I feel like I love Greek mythology, and I feel like I just had heard the name for, like, a while, and then, like, I went to high school with this girl who had that name, and she was okay, but I was like, that name belongs, like, it deserves to go to a powerful woman. So I was like,
You start your transition, and were you still going to school at the time?
No, thankfully, the realization and everything happened, like, right after. Thank God. Because the world is already so cruel. Imagine, like, transitioning in high school. Like, it just would have been, like, a shit show.
Were you working at the time?
Yes.
How was, like, work life for you, you know, after coming out as a transgender woman?
Ooh, it sucked, because I worked at a call center, like, collecting debt for, like, T-Mobile and, like, Comcast and all that shit. So it was, like, every time, like, you had a call with somebody, you had to say your, like, legal name, like, your dead name. So I was, like, introducing myself as, like, this or whatever. And so, like, it really took a toll on, like, my
mental health,
because it was, like, a lot. And so, like, every single day having to, like, be like, this is, you know, this is who's calling, and, like, give me your fucking money, bitch. So it was, yeah.
You're like, you're in debt.
You're literally in debt. I would argue with so many people. I thought it was so funny. Because, like, that place is a joke. It was, like, a whole bunch of, everybody who graduated high school and didn't go to college, like, worked there. So everybody was, like, fucking each other, and the place smelled like cum, literally. So it was just, like, the place is a joke.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What do you feel like was the most challenging part of your journey? You know, obviously you start this journey. Wait, actually, I want to go back a little bit. How did the journey start? You know, so you come out as trans. What proceeded after that? You know, what, obviously you started taking hormones, or did that come later?
I just started taking hormones a month ago.
Literally. Okay, so walk us through. How's been that journey?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot more resources, because I just moved here in January. So, like, I feel like in LA, there's just a lot more resources for that. And there's more trans people. I swear to God, you will turn and, like, there's a trans person right there.
Me coming out right now. I imagine.
Period. We're all crying. But so in LA or in Oregon, I took my time to make sure it's, like, what I really wanted and, like, what I really was. And also it was me, like, just advocating for trans people, because, like, I feel like trans isn't gonna look like one thing. Like, it's not like you come out, like, you start wearing wigs and you get hormones. Like, everybody's trans journey is going to be very different. So even at the time, even though I didn't have a platform, I still felt very strong about, like, there has to be different types of representation. Like, it's not just going to be like everybody's going to be like Nikita Dragon, you know what I mean? So, like, that's why it took me, like, a while. And then once I finally moved here, do you know who Leo Skeppy is? Like, the bald guy, and he's, like, on TikTok.
Leo,
super sickening.
No, but I'm going to look him up. Yeah.
On men.com later. He lives in my building. So we ended up getting, like, super high one day. And then I was like, I don't like smoking, because whenever it, for everybody, it's different. But for me, like, it just, like, calls me out on my shit. And it's like, you're not doing this and that.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, okay, I need to start taking my transition a little bit more serious now that I'm here and I have the resources and the money. So that's why I recently started hormones. It's been weird, because it really is like a second puberty. So, like, my body's changing. I've just been, like, super emotional. Like, I was literally crying on TikTok Live, like, the other day, like, the dumbest shit. Like, it was so
stupid. How long have you been on it?
Hormones?
Yeah.
I started right when I got back, so maybe like at the end, like mid-October.
So it's been a little bit, it's literally been like two months. Yeah. Has that taken a toll on you emotionally?
Oh, 100%. Like, I've just been like crying a lot over like the, I wouldn't say like the dumbest shit because like it's valid. And I feel like it's good because like I've never been one that's very much in tune with my emotions. If anything, I'll like push my emotions away. So like this has made me really come face to face with like how I'm feeling. And I'm like, it's annoying, but it's a part of, you know, becoming more authentic. It's hard every day, but it's like going out and kind of facing like that scrutiny and having people like look at you different, like almost like looking at you as like your existence isn't like valid. Cause like when people like misgender and stuff like that, or like, I know that it's not, sometimes it's not on purpose, but it's just like, there's a whole group of people like out there who are like Republican or just like racist or transphobic or whatever, who like, they want to erase that part of like the world, or I guess like what is it, population? Because like we don't even take, I think it's like 1% of like the, or not even like 1%, but like 0.1 or something is of the world is like trans. So it's like, it's not even like there's that many of us. So it's like, I don't know why it's like so fierce.
Do you almost not feel like accepted in the in society?
That's why I'm always in WeHo.
Now that you have a platform and now that you can advocate, you know, for transgender women and even for transgender men, what's a misconception, you know, that society have on transgender women or men?
That we all get along. No, I'm just kidding.
We hate each other.
Honestly, the people and the trans people in LA all hate each other because they all want to be like that one trans like advocate. But like whenever I see a trans person, I'm like, oh, period. Like, you know, like a brother or sister or like a family member, I guess, because there's some non-binary people or whatever. But I guess the misconception is that like that they're gonna get rid of us or that they want to erase us,
and you're like, I'm here, baby.
Yeah, we've always been here.
So you've been doing social media for what, 3 years already?
I started doing YouTube like maybe in 2017 when I came out as trans.
Okay,
so I did it for a couple of years and I didn't really get anything out of it. I started doing beauty content. I did like makeup tutorials and I maybe gained like 500 followers in like that whole 5 years while I was doing my thing. And then I started working at Sephora and then I got fired and for being too sickening. And then I kind of took what happened there and like twisted it and gave it like my little Athena flair with comedy. And that's when I like blew up overnight on TikTok.
Wait, so when you were doing those Sephora videos, because I remember seeing you first with those Sephora videos, you weren't even working at Sephora?
No, I had gotten fired like recently.
Oh shit. Yeah. So you start doing social media, it starts picking the fuck up, like you have your viral moments. How was that for you? You know, you tell us that you've been doing social media even prior to that and it wouldn't pick up. How was it like to finally, you know, have that moment where you're like, fuck, like this video got viewed by so many people. Mm-hmm. I just gained so many followers. How was that like for you?
It was definitely really exciting. Like it gave me like a rush. It was definitely really cool to see. Like it was good to feel appreciated for like something that you're talented at. Cause like, I really wanted to do beauty to begin with and it never worked out. And like, I knew in the back of my head, like I was going to have to do something with comedy to blow up. So I almost kind of looked at comedy as like, kind of like, I don't want to do it because like for me being funny, like when I make jokes, it's almost like me deflecting. I don't know. It's, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like my comedy comes from like my trauma.
Yeah.
And like, so like it was kind of hard, but at the end of the day, I was like, okay, well, it's doing good anyway. So I'll just push that to the side and just keep doing it. Because like after like that moment, once the first video went viral, I just kept doing the same thing and like never looked back.
And I feel like that's what's worked for you because you genuinely are being yourself. Like you said, you know, there was a moment where you're like, fuck, should I keep it going? But then you're like, no, this is what people are liking. Yeah. You know, I'm going to keep going. So there comes a moment where obviously you had that realization of like, oh shit, I can actually make this a full-time job. What was that moment for you? What was the aha moment where you're like, fuck, this is actually generating not just views, but money. Let me go ahead and go full force with it.
I think when, so I like maybe like before I moved to LA, like maybe like last summer, like the summer before that just happened, like 2022, I did like my first like actual big like sponsorship, and it was before I was actually doing makeup. So like when you do like strictly comedy on TikTok and you're not selling product, it's really hard to get sponsorships because they don't take you seriously. So I got my first sponsorship like with like a shave, like a razor brand, like shaving my legs and shit. And like that was like a lot of, it was like the most money I'd ever made on like at that time.
So social media.
So I was like 10K for shaving my pussy on TikTok, like period, let's do it.
Like I do it for free. Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, period. And like that's when I was like, okay, it's go time, let's go.
Did anyone, when you started doing social media, doubt you in the way of like, hey, get a real job, like I don't think this is gonna end up anywhere? Maybe not even judge you, but you know, had those little comments, because I feel like it's very normal when people see you doing something that they don't understand, almost comment negatively about it.
Yeah, I had a lot of like my friends were all super, super supportive. Like one of my best friends, Denise, like bought me like lights for YouTube. Like when I told her I wanted to do social media, so like my friends were super supportive, because like who doesn't want to be, especially with like our newer generation, like who doesn't want to be
an influencer? They understand it. Yeah.
But I had like a couple like brothers and like in-law, like just like aunts and stuff being like, okay, so, but what are you going to seriously do for an actual job? And I was like, this.
Yeah, you like shave my pussy on camera. I'm like, that's what I'm doing.
Period. But yeah, no, and then it was like one of my cousins who told my mom and like pulled her aside being like, because they were kind of just like, what is she doing? And this cousin was like, you guys need to support her because like he knew what social media was and like he saw influencers blow up and whatever. And he was like, you guys should support her because like if she does blow up, like she's going to be able to support all you like.
Yeah, y'all are going to want to make y'all going to want to make sure she remembers that y'all supported her. Literally. I feel like now that I'm in a place where I feel like I'm financially good, you know, like money's coming in. I feel like I have that whole like, you know, being an influencer, you know, to the T. I know how to maneuver. I know how to maneuver it. I feel like a lot of people that weren't very supportive almost feel now like they deserve a piece of the pie. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, babes, I remember where you would talk shit about what I was doing, where you would say that this wasn't going to get me anywhere. Well, look where it's gotten me. You know, did that ever, you know, kind of almost made you shut down where you're like, fuck, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Like, maybe people are right. Like, this isn't going to take me anywhere. Did you ever have, you know, self-doubt?
Honestly, never. It, like, I've always been the kind of person, which kind of makes me a little emotional. Like, although you have, like, your mom and, like, whatever, I've always been, like, the only person who's always, like, genuinely had my back. And, like, I've never thought otherwise. So like I was always like, well, this is what we're gonna do. And I was almost like delusional about it to the point where I was like, it's gonna work out. Like it has to work out because like I know nothing else. So I was like, it's just gonna work out. I never had a moment of self-doubt because like that's kind of gross. Like, why would you doubt yourself?
Yeah. And I feel like, that's a great thing that you say, because it's like, you kind of do have to be delulu when you first start, because no one's going to believe you. Like you're going at people that like the only way to create a living, all they know is like working like a real 9-to-5, not saying that we don't work, but I feel like when it comes down to that, I feel like we really do have to be delulu and be like, you know what? No one believes in me, but I know I can get this shit done. And I know if I keep trying, I'm going to get somewhere, you know. I feel like you're a part of like what I like to consider like the new gen of the beauty community. You know, I was actually in the beauty community like for a long time. And I feel like over the years, I kind of, you know, kind of got away from it. I mean, I still do my makeup. I still do beauty content, but I feel like I'm more focused more on the lifestyle.
Yeah.
But whenever I see your content, I'm like, wow, like this new, you have like this freshness. Like it's just so refreshing seeing you. And how do you feel like the beauty community has changed now to what it was once back then?
I feel like there's a lot more diversity now, like way more diversity, thank God. Because back then, like, it was like people of every single skin tone, like going to Jeffree Star being like, I want that shade of foundation. It was so annoying when people would come into Sephora and be like, I want the same shade Jaclyn Hill uses for foundation. I'm like, you're not the same shade as like Jaclyn Hill. So like, I'm glad that there's like so much more diversity now, because like there's like, imagine like following like steps from like a makeup tutorial from somebody who doesn't have like your same eyelid or same skin tone or same skin type. I'm just glad that there's so much like more representation. So like now everybody can see themselves doing this, and not even just see themselves doing social media, but like see themselves like, I guess I'm like, how do I word this? Sorry, I didn't go to college, but I'm trying to think. I should have wrote down the answer.
I should have had these prepared. Period. No, but I get what you mean. Like, I feel like there's now more representation to where like everyone at home can literally go and find someone that they feel represented in. Because I feel like back in the day, exactly, that's how I felt back in the day when I was doing social media. Because at the time, it was before I actually gained weight. So I was like at 165 at the time. That's when I want to say was when like I felt like being in the beauty industry was like the best time for me. But as soon as, you know, I feel like when it comes to diversity, I feel like the only person at the time that I kind of was seen that was like plus size was like Patrick Starr. You know, there wasn't really a lot of, you know, representation, or even, you know, even the boys that were doing it, they were all like skinny, you know, like,
or Manny Way.
Manny.
We love Manny.
But there wasn't a lot of representation, you know what I mean? So I feel like now when I really look at the beauty community now, I'm like, wow, there really is so many people. And so I love it, because I feel like there's a person, an influencer for every person out there now. And if there's not, it's coming. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow.
Literally, I'm like, they're making a video right now. Literally.
Shaving their pussy on TikTok.
I saw you. But how do you feel, you know, being in, you know, you talked to us a little bit about being in the store, how everybody would come in for the Jaclyn Hills. Now that we don't really have, you know, the top.
Now that Jaclyn Hill's dead. I'm just kidding.
No, but now that there's not really like the top five people like in charge. How do you feel like that's changed? Do you feel like that's almost opened, you know, a door for you to succeed even more?
I guess. It's just good because like now there's like we're all here and we're all winning together. So we're all supportive of each other. Oh my God, I had a good answer and I forgot. It's a tequila shot. Wait, what the fuck was I gonna say? What was the question again?
The representation.
There's like nothing up here right now.
You're like, no, there's no representation still. Yeah.
No, that's good. Like, I feel like it's good because like there's just more people.
Yes. Do you feel like it's as toxic as it once was? Because I feel like back in the day,
2016. I wish it was more toxic, low-key.
I wish there was still drama.
You think I won't like call out Gabriel Zamora right now and be like... Yeah, I feel like it was definitely way more toxic back then because like it was more so like clicky. And now there's way too many people here to the point where like there can be cliques and groups, but like there's just so much more than... drama,
like, and it's hard to keep up too. Yeah, I feel like you said there's
a new trend every single day,
literally, and there's a new influencer blowing up.
Well, actually, no. I feel like I wish we would go back because I miss Laura Lee calling Robert Kardashian fat. Like that was sickening. Laura, I love you. That was sickening. I feel like she's so real for that. Like that's just funny to me. Like it's so like it's very Trisha Paytas.
I feel like after like everything that happened, I feel like the beauty community almost felt like they had to be more careful with their words because now we see.
Thank God though, because like yeah, I get that we do have like a reputation to uphold and like we do have to like. Educate ourselves to some extent, so it's like I don't know, I feel like maybe like now it's just like better.
How do you feel now in the sense, you know, we see you being so outspoken, you know, you sometimes touch and say jokes that sometimes you're like fuck, like maybe
that
I shouldn't
are not
be
gonna
saying,
age well in 5 years.
How do you feel like that? Obviously that's changed because I remember back in the day everyone was very like personaditos.
That's how I started to. I'd be like,
no, if you go back in my videos, like I wouldn't even speak Spanish and like my voice was so
because you were
different.
Scared the ice would be outside in 2 seconds, like literally. You're like, oh shit, la migra, like
I'm
fuck.
Like over here like doing a video and I'm like fuck, va a llegarme la migra, me va a llegar. But it really was like that. I feel like the beauty community back in the day was like you almost have to be like perfect. Yeah. Your voice, even like your mannerisms. Do you feel like, you know, the way you are now, do you feel like that's ever affected like the when it comes to working with brands? Because there is still some brands that look for that,
they want
you know,
yeah, clean, which is like annoying. I feel like the thing is, and this is like a message to all beauty brands, if you want your company to succeed, work with authentic people who are, you know, like people like me who are talking about sleeping with people's boyfriends on TikTok. Cause it's like, it's authentic and like it builds trust between like the influencer and the consumer. Yeah. And that's what you want. You don't want, oh my God, I almost said something crazy, but say like it. They follow me. So like, I don't want them to like get mad, but like, I don't like, you don't want like some, like the whole like Michaela thing that happened. You know what I mean? Like the, I feel like that was kind of fucked because like brands sometimes like in the briefs or the sponsorships, they'll be like, add a false slash after. And like, you can't say anything or speak your mind because like you're under contract. So it's like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I feel like sometimes like brands, because it's happened so many times, you know, obviously if you guys ever go look at a lot of my sponsored content, like I'm a little toned down than what I normally am. Why? Because when I first sent in that first rough draft, they're like, oh, he can't do this. He can't say that.
Oh my God. Reshooting is the worst thing ever.
So annoying because it's like, girl, like you guys are obviously like paying me because you, I want to say you love my content. I want to say you love how I am.
And that's how they always reach out. Like, we love your content.
Yeah, but then it's like when it comes down to the tea, literally, I'm like, don't speak English. Don't speak Spanish. I mean, like, I've had brands, like, come to me where it's like, don't speak Spanish. And I'm like, but that's my whole brand. Like, what do you mean?
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yeah, literally. Oh, that's that's kind of disgusting. Call them out. I had a brand one time too that I did a pride campaign with or whatever, and they're like, "We love Athena. We love." They wanted to work with me because I was so unhinged and so like messy and so all over the place. So then they sent me a rough draft of things, like some sponsorship to do, like some makeup tutorial. And even then, I was like, they wanted me to be like feral and unhinged. That's what they said in the thing. I was like, I'm going to tone it down because it's a sponsorship. Like, you know, like tone it down. I toned it down. It was so stupid, and they still were like, "Ooh, we have an anti-bullying campaign coming up next month," and I was like, then why the fuck do you guys want to work with me?
Yeah.
Like, if I can't call someone fat and bald, then what? Why would you? Like, I don't want to make the video. I feel like brands need to do like a better job. I feel like ads should be more fun and they should be more authentic because this is the thing in every single brief that they give you. Like, they give you like, I hate doing sponsorships because it's like, I don't know if you ever did like science projects back in the day, like in high school, like they gave you like a thing of what you have to do and I could never like do it. So even now, like when I have to do like a sponsorship, I'll like be on the, like, I'll text my like team and be like, how do I do this? Yeah. And it's the most simple thing. And they're like, how do you do that? Are you fucking stupid? I feel like they're always like, make it as organic to your content as you can. And then you do and they get mad and they like reshoot this.
You talked to us a little bit about moving to LA. You moved to LA when you were 25. How has that been? You know, how has been the adjustment of moving from Oregon to LA?
It's crazy. I mean, how long have you been here for?
I've lived here all my life. Yeah.
Also, you're from, oh, you're
from
a native.
OC, yeah. We're not even in that. I've never OC. Lived in LA. Yeah. So I've always
gunshot
lived
is familiar
OC.
To you.
Yeah. I lived in Santa Ana where it was like, it's known to be like the ghettoest city in Orange County. So but I loved it.
So you lived at a swap meet, basically.
So you lived in the streets. Yeah, Loki. Not gonna lie, we almost got evicted. But yeah, it's
I think
crazy.
I remember hearing about that. I think I saw
that. You're like, and I didn't feel bad for you.
It was me saying that there was like, evict this bitch. So I moved here in January. It's been kind of like a weird transition because it's like, LA is just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would explain LA as like, you know how like in every city, like, I don't know, have you been like outside of LA, obviously? Like, in Oregon, like, let's say there's like five crazy people like me. You get to LA, everybody's like that. Literally everybody's insane. So it's like the craziest of the craziest, like the most out there people. And then like going to events and stuff, like, and just like being around a whole bunch of like celebrities and like influencers, like you don't see that like where I'm from. So it's definitely been a huge change, but I'm adjusting very well. But it's a lot. Like, there's always something to do. I'm like exhausted. I'm hungover like every day.
How was it like, you know, telling your parents, you know, obviously this is like a big decision to take. Were they up for it? Obviously, you know, you're at the age where they kind of can't stop you. But how has that been? You know, how did you tell your parents you were moving? How did you tell your friends?
I had always been planning to move to LA, like, even since I was like a little kid, because I wanted to originally pursue acting and like music. So I had told them, like, oh, I'm gonna move to LA one day, I'm gonna move to LA. And then it randomly happened, like, I had like a month's notice. Like, my friend was like, we have a room that opened up and they'll be gone in a month. And then I was like, okay, it's go. Like, immediately everything happened. I was like, it's go time. Like, we're moving in a month. So, like, immediately I told my mom and my dad, and they were just like, you've been saying this forever. Like, you know, I don't know if your parents are the same, but, like, they're always like, we're going to go back to Mexico.
Yeah.
So it was like every weekend, they're like, I'm going to go back to Mexico. So I'm like, I'm going to LA. And they're like, oh, right, bitch. And I was like, no, like, I'm actually going to LA next month. So they were kind of like, okay, like, what's going to happen? I feel like my parents still don't understand, like, what social media is. Mm-hmm. Like, when I had been doing social media for like 2 years at this one point, and my mom was like, just please promise me you're never going to prostitute yourself. And I was like, bitch, like, I'm out here making money. Yeah. I'm like, for like what I just don't think they understand like what it is. But yeah, they were gagged. And like, I told my friends to like a month that I was leaving in a month, and they were just like, they weren't sad or anything. They were like, okay, it's like,
actually, I'm all happy you're
they're
leaving.
Like, thank God. I was terrorizing Oregon down boots. So like, they're like, thank God this bitch is gone. But no, they were like, this is what you deserve. Like, you deserve to be out there. So everybody was like super happy for me. They're like, it's time.
Do you miss your family? You know, do you go often or no?
I've been twice since I moved. And yeah, I do miss them a lot. But it's like, at the same time, I feel like it's made us closer being apart. Because like, being with them every single day and like having the whole house smell like tapatio is like, you know, just not like an ideal thing.
Are you going down back home for like the holidays?
Yeah, for Christmas. I was going to go for Thanksgiving, but I was like, it's too boring of a holiday. So
I really do think Thanksgiving is kind of boring. I feel like for me, Thanksgiving is just more of like, yeah, have your cool ass meal and then go to sleep. Because that's
everybody posting the same meal. I swear to God,
literally, like, we would never do like traditional Thanksgiving food. But for us, it was more like birria, with frijoles, puercos, which sound good, but like honestly, like. Thanksgiving's like whatever to me. So I'm happy that you're going back for, you know, Christmas. So obviamente ya viviendo in, you know, LA for so long, I feel like every single time I see your stories, you're either at the club, doing at an event, or just doing something crazy. What's the craziest thing that has happened to you while living in LA?
Oh my God, there was this one time that a group of me and like friends were like out in WeHo, and you obviously probably had like your fair share of experiences with like crazy fans. So like a fan came up to one of my friends. He does like Terry Joe online. A fan wanted a picture with him, but he was like blacked out drunk. He was like about to throw up in like a bush or whatever. And the fan was asking him for a picture. And I was like, oh, hey, like, by the way, like, I'm so sorry. Like, he actually can't take a picture with you right now. Like, he's about to like die. This fan was like, okay, like, whatever. Can we get a picture with you? And I was like, oh, period. Second option. So like, they're getting ready to take the picture with me and they start calling me Alexis. And I'm like, who the fuck's Alexis? So like, they didn't even know who I was. So I was like, that's like my most annoying thing. Like, if you don't even know who I am, don't ask me for a picture, because like, it's disrespectful to both of us. And then I was like, okay, like, I walked away because I was like, I'm not going to take a picture with you. Like, that's weird. And we're over, I go back to my friend who's like about to throw up in this bush. And they come up and they're like yelling in our faces, being like, oh, you guys are like jokes, like this, this, and that. And I was like, you literally just asked me for a picture and I heard your grinding notification go off. Like, go die in a hole. I think like my friend like pushed him off. And then like, that's when he like started putting his camera in all of our faces, being like, they're all jokes, like they're irrelevant, like nobody takes them seriously. And I was like, you literally just asked us for a picture.
Like, you were just in line for the meet and greet, babe.
Yeah, literally in line for the meet and greet. He had a trans friend with him. It was like a trans girl as well. And he was like trying to taunt me. He's like, that's what a woman, a trans woman, like a real woman looks like. And that's what a real woman sounds like. And I was like, babe, you're literally overweight. Like, your button's about to pop and make me go blind in one eye. So then like, he's like filming me and I like try to snatch the phone like out of his hand. And he ends up posting like this video on TikTok. And they're like, oh, look at Athena trying to like hit his phone. And I was like, I was trying to like take his Boost Mobile phone out of his hand and delete the video. Cause like, why are you filming me, bitch? But that was definitely one for the book.
Did that video go viral?
It went viral like a little bit. Oh my God, I just burped and it smells like poppers. But it went viral like a little bit, but then it got like taken down cause like everybody reported it. Cause it's like, everybody in the comments was like bashing them, being like, why would you
record,
like, you didn't get a picture, like, and so you're acting entitled. So it's like,
did you have to address it or no?
No, because like, I feel like nobody really cares about me that much. I didn't feel like I needed to.
How's been the dating life for you?
Where are the tissues? Got the tissues. Where are the, I'm just kidding. No, the dating life in LA. I mean, you know, how long have you been dating here? Like, you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah, I've been in a relationship since high school. So I feel like I've never dated like,
wait, you've been with the person you were with now since high school?
Yeah, since high school, yeah.
Oh my God, period. I need some of that energy. Give it to me. Because dating here is like, suck. I feel like dating as a trans person already sucks, because like, trans people are seen as this like porn category, like fetish. Yeah. Like, they just want us for like a night and they want to like get their fantasy and like their whatever the fuck. And so like, nobody really takes trans women like serious. So when I moved here, I had already done that whole dating experience in Oregon, and it's, you know how people are, like, people who like don't want to be with you in public and they're just like really fucking annoying. And so I gave up on dating here because I was just like, I'm not gonna date. Imagine how hard it is like in LA.
Yeah.
And then randomly like somebody hit me up and through Instagram DMs, which is so disgusting. But so I entertained that for a little bit, but that literally just ended this last weekend. So
why? Just cause it wasn't working out?
It was more so like, he's probably gonna end up watching this, so hi. But I think it was more so like, he was more excited because like, he knew who I was on social media.
Okay.
And so I think it was more so like, oh, I wanna hang out, let's hang out romantically. But it wasn't really romantically, it was more so like, I just wanna hang out with this person and say I hung out with this person. And so like, the whole time I kinda got like that weird vibe, like an off-putting vibe that he wasn't really into me. But I feel like the longer I talked to him, like the more I kind of became like obsessed with him. Cause like, I talked to him every day, morning and night, like good morning, good night. So I entertained it for a bit. And like, I feel like it just, the longer it went on, like the more it didn't feel right. And the last time we went out in like WeHo and it was just like a shit show. So I was like, let me just flip my hair and go home.
Have you had a serious relationship when it comes to dating, or has it been more just like fucking around, you know, doing your thing?
Fucking around in parking lots.
No,
I don't really hook up like that. So like, it's not really been like that fierce, but yeah, it's like, dating is really hard. So I just like, I guess I don't do it.
What's like the ideal person for you? Like, what's something that when it comes down to dating?
I'm like, Adam Ray, okay, I'm just kidding.
Me?
I don't know. Just somebody who like I can get along with and like appreciates me for what I have to bring to the table. Like, which is me being funny as hell, sickening boots, and I don't know, just being I feel like I try my hardest every single day to be like a good person. So like, as long as somebody's seeing that and I can appreciate that.
You know, you tell us a little bit about the last person that you almost felt like they were just trying to use you for who you were online. Do you feel like dating has now become harder because of who, you know, of the following you have online?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like it doesn't really happen that often. And honestly, I don't really know if that's what happened with the last guy. I don't really know if that's what it was. I think that's maybe just my insecurity.
Yeah.
And that's why I never did date once I started doing social media, because of that. I'm always like, do they really want to be with me because of this? Or just because I went viral on TikTok one time for sucking dick? You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. But no, I don't know. Who knows if what happened? And I guess I don't really... I feel like I've been doing this for such a long time that I don't care for the closure anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it is what it is. And we just keep it moving and keep it pushing.
But I feel like that does tend to happen. And I feel like at the end
I've
of the day...
I've seen it happen a lot.
No, it happens a lot. You know what I mean? And even though you feel like you were just in your head, maybe it was just, you know, you weren't in your head. If you already felt that way, I feel like
my intuition is very... Like, yeah, we all have an intuition.
And because
it's like
there's times where, like, I'm sure you get approached by even friends, like, not, it doesn't even have to be like a romantic setting, it can be even friends where you're like, why does it feel like they only want to be my friends because of who I am online? And it happens a lot. Literally, I know, I feel like that happens everywhere, but I feel like in LA especially too, it's a little hard when it comes down to making friends. Has it been hard for you to make genuine friends that you feel like want to be around you for who you are as a person?
Not really, because I feel like I have a pretty good, like, I have a really, really good judge of character. So, like, once I meet somebody and I know that they're, like, a good person, like, I'll want to be around that kind of energy. And there's a lot of people in LA who are just very much social climbing, which is not a bad thing. Like, do what you got to do to get where you want to be. Like, you know, we all come here for a dream and a purpose. So, like, go, you can't really, like, be catty with somebody who's, like, doing what they want to do. But, like, I feel like I have a pretty good, like, head on my shoulders and, like, a good judge of character. So, like, I have my little group. So once, before I moved here, one of my best friends moved here first, like, a couple months before. So, like, I got to see him all the time, and, like, he's, like, a brother to me. So, like, I already have, like, a little bit of family here, and then, like, obviously, like, my friends that I see all the time.
Have you ever had a situation living in LA where you had to cut off a friend because you just felt in whatever way they weren't good for you?
Not yet. I feel like growing up, like, in high school and, like, after high school, before I moved here, I was very much that kind of person before the hormones.
Yeah.
I was very much like, when something would happen and somebody would piss me off, like, I would block them and, like, cut off all communication, because, like, being friends with me, like, aside from whatever the fuck else I have to bring to the table, like, my mental, like, mentality, like, I'm a prize. So being friends with me is, like, a prize, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that's how everybody should look at themselves. So it's like, don't put up with any disrespect. And I feel like I put up with a lot of disrespect from friends who just don't value, like, the friendship or, like, what you have to bring to the table. Or, like, people are just friends with you just because they're friends with you from high school and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I would very much, like, block and stuff back then. But now that I'm, like, going through it emotionally and, like, I have more empathy, is that the word?
Yeah.
I feel like now I'll try to see all sides and I'll try to, like, get more closure now, because, like, I don't know, you could die tomorrow and you never wanted to.
I also, like, do feel like that comes with maturing, because I feel like I was the same way as you. Like, whenever someone would fuck me over, or where someone would almost make me feel like they're out to come and get me, like, my first instinct would also be, like, cutting them off. Like, oh, I don't want to be your friends. But, like you said, I feel like as I get older, I'm always like, okay, like, I want to see, or I want to at least get in their feet and see why they're feeling some type of way. Yeah. Because sometimes, like,
more
you said, more communication, because I feel like sometimes we get so caught up in, like, how we feel, how they made us feel, that we kind of always forget that there's, like you said, almost two sides to everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe you feel some type of way and they did whatever they did because you were doing this or whatever it may be. So I feel like it's really good now as you're getting older to where you're like, you know what, I can't just cut people off for no reason. I really need to see all sides. But obviously there is a lot of times where you do have to cut people off because, you know, they deserve it. What are the red flags for you when it comes to friendships that you do not tolerate, and that you, as soon as you see that red flag, you're like, I'm out?
I just think with friendships, I think it's like when anybody sees you as, like, competition.
Okay.
Or, like, because I feel like people will do that with each other. Like, I feel like it's just normal. People will try to, like, if something good is going on for you, like, they're almost, like, not happy for you, or, like, they have to, like, downplay your success or anything. And that's really annoying. I feel like that's a really big red flag, or them just not being genuinely happy for you. Like, that's a huge...
You've been doing social media, and I feel like with social media, you have also encountered a lot of hate. You know, how do you deal with the hate comments?
I don't know. I feel like hate and, like, people judging me has always kind of fueled me and made me feel more powerful, because, like, going into social media, you have to have a very, like, thick skin. Look at me, I'm plus size, so obviously I have thick skin. It's just, like, people, once you get to the root of what it is, so somebody, like, if I were, like, to hate on you right on, be like, oh, like, your shirt, it's obviously because, like, I like your shirt, or I wish I could dress like that. It all comes from a place from, or it stems from insecurity. So, like, they're coming at you because this is going to sound really cheesy, but when something like bright or something is too bright, they're going to try to like dull the shine.
Yeah.
Because they want you to have like the same, you know, they want you to be the same. So like, that's where hate comes from. It's where it stems from. It's like they want, they're insecure or they're sad because they can't be as authentic as you. So it's really going to try to bring you down.
Has it ever made you view yourself differently?
Just the time Jeffree Star blocked me on TikTok.
Wait, really? For what?
He just blocked me because I think he saw me collab with James Charles or something. I don't know, I think he got like mad. That or because I called him desperate. One of the two.
You're like both. Ah, literally.
How or the fact that I messaged
when he blocked you, how did you react? Were you guys already like mutuals?
No,
or
we weren't.
Not like,
I was always like a really big fan. Like obviously growing up, like I thought he was, because like I feel like if anything, we have kind of similar aesthetics.
Yeah.
Except I don't sleep with Kanye West. I'm just kidding. No. Just kidding, allegedly. But no, I feel like to me it kind of gagged me because like although I don't support him now and I didn't support him at the time, it was just kind of gaggy seeing somebody I grew up watching like kind of like block you. Like that's kind of funny. Like it's kind of
like they acknowledge you.
Yeah, it's like oh,
you,
like,
you know I exist. Yeah.
So it was kind of cool, low-key.
Ya para terminar la entrevista, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Either in a drive-thru at Taco Bell or dead in a ditch. Either one. Like,
I'm like, or both.
I feel like, yeah, dead in a ditch at a Taco Bell.
It's eating Taco Bell. You know. Your last meal was Taco Bell, I imagine?
Probably. No. Probably, I want to get into acting because like that's what I want to do eventually. I just want to get FFS first. So this upcoming, I think before the, when? Like in a year from now, I will definitely have like my FFS by then, hopefully. And then I want to start taking acting classes now. So like once everything is ready, it falls into place, I can start doing like acting. And I want to be in horror movies. Yeah. I love horror movies.
I've been seeing a lot of representation, you know, in shows,
Hunter
movies.
Schaefer,
how does that make you feel?
I'm like, that should be me. I'm just kidding. No, I think it's really cool. Because I feel like that back then we used to have like whenever you would see trans people in media, it used to be them playing hookers, which is really realistic. I'm just kidding. No. We had like that kind of representation, which wasn't really, if anything, it did more damage than good. So now seeing like Hunter Schaefer and like Laverne Cox and just like, I'm trying to think of like who else, like Zion Moreno and like Gossip Girl, like seeing trans people play like real trans people is very just like refreshing and it's cool because it's doing good for the community.
You know, ya para terminar esta entrevista, you know, I feel like there might be people watching us right now that are maybe barely starting their journey, their transition journey. What's something that, you know, after, you know, you going through yours, what's something that you can maybe advise them on?
Definitely take your time. Like you're not alone. This is happening to so many people. Reach out. There's much more resources now than when I first like came out. And remember that everybody's journey is going to look different and you don't have to go full force with like bottom surgery and like FFS or like, you don't even have to really do anything. Like your trans identity is valid and I love you kind of. So yeah, just take your time and like make sure you're doing and you're taking care of your body and you're taking care of yourself and your mental health.
Do you feel like your mental health throughout your journey, has it been affected?
100%. Yeah.
In what way?
I don't know. I just feel like once you realize like how against you the world is, it kind of makes you think a little bit differently. Like you feel like you're constantly like under attack or like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Do you? No. 100%. Do you ever feel scared? Like when you're out in public?
Oh my God,
public?
Yes. When I'm in the bathroom, obviously I know like my voice is deeper. It's like whenever I'm in like the women's restroom, I try not to talk or I'll be like, what? Like if like they, you know, like you need a tampon? Like, you know, I'll try to be like a little bit more, or I'll feminine up a little bit more, but like I, you know, like there's just like certain places where I'm like not dumb. Like I'm gonna, like if something is gonna happen, I'm gonna try to protect myself. So like it's, you know, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes a whole lot of sense.
Like it actually makes no sense.
Like, yeah, you're right. Seeing yourself now where you've, you know, where you are now, what's something that you wish you could have told younger self, you know, that poor person. Not,
no, you're right. Literally,
no, yeah. Not poor. Like
that,
financially.
That person that was eating the poor for four. Yeah.
What's something you wish you could tell, you know, little you?
It was all worth it. And you were right. You had a vision and it came true. Look at us now.
And I just want to go ahead and say thank you so much for coming on the podcast and, you know, platicar un poquito con nosotros, un poquito más de tu historia, de tu vida, de la persona que eres ahora. I really do appreciate it. Y yo sé que allá en casita muchos de ustedes también are very happy with this interview. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is literally probably like the best podcast I've been on. Best interview. Yeah. It's the only one. It's the only, I'm just kidding. No, it was. I feel like the other ones are very like, but obviously, like, I could just feel your energy. And even when I met you for the first time at Louis' event, like, I just knew we were going to get along.
Thank you. I really do appreciate. Yo sé que también ustedes allá en casita les encantó este episodio. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow her on all her social medias, which I'll leave down below, as well as on the screen right now. And also, don't forget to follow me on all my social media so you guys won't miss any future episodes. And once again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you guys so much for watching. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye, guys. Oh, fuck, that shit hurt.